I believe we will finish the chapter tonight, starting in verse 39 of John chapter 5. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" So search the Scriptures. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your presence tonight as we gather together in this small assembly and open your word together. Use it to teach us and grow us, Lord, and thank you for it. And also we pray for a sweet time of prayer one for another. Lord, we commit our service to you and are grateful that we can have it. And we praise you and love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Search the Scriptures. What a saying. Jesus here, of course, is referring to the Old Testament because the New Testament's not written yet. But God still wants us to search the Scriptures. And he mentions, if you go to Acts 17, the church at Berea is the biblical model, if you will, of how we should be in relation to searching the Scriptures. Acts 17, look at verse 11. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." So these Christians at Berea and some unsaved Jews, they, when Paul preached, they would take the time to check every Scripture that Paul used. And then they would search to see whether those things were so, whether the things that Paul was sharing with them were coming from the Scriptures. And we're all commanded to study. Sorry, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." So God wants us to search the Scriptures. And did you notice he said here in our chapter, "For in them ye think ye have eternal life." Now he's referring to the Jews, and they think that they have eternal life from the law. And they have to be corrected on that. But folks, we do have eternal life in the Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. But he says here, "They are they which testify of me." So Jesus says, "They are they," talking about the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures specifically. Because we'll go to Luke 24. He said, "They are they which testify of me," saying, if you will search the Scriptures, if you will search the Old Testament Scriptures, you will find testimony of me. Jesus saying that. So Luke 24:27. "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." It says all the prophets, every single prophet spoke of Jesus. And then he says all the Scriptures. Then over in Luke 24, verse 44 this time, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The Psalms and Isaiah have more Scriptures about Jesus, well, that we understand clearly, than any other books in the Old Testament. The Psalms and Isaiah. So I'll just read some out. We won't turn to all of them. It would take too long. And this actually ties in with our homework for tomorrow, for Friday night, doesn't it? So in Psalm 2, the Bible says that God gave the Son of God the heathen. In Psalm 22, the Bible says what he would say on the cross. "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And that his garments would be parted. Psalm 34, the Bible says none of his bones would be broken. Psalm 68, well, that was last week's homework, wasn't it? We already did this one. It says he would ascend. Psalm 69, he would be given vinegar on the cross. Psalm 110, he would be a priest after Melchizedek. That's just some samples from Psalms. Then in Isaiah, in verse chapter 7, the virgin birth. Chapter 9, his name. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Chapter 11, that he would reign as the branch in his wonderful kingdom. Chapter 28, he would be the rejected cornerstone. Chapter 40, he would come to earth as a man. 42, he's God's servant. Isaiah 50, he would be smitten. Isaiah 52, his visage or his appearance would be marred. And then, of course, Isaiah 53, the whole chapter talks about Jesus, his suffering on our behalf. Isaiah 61, the anointed preacher. Jeremiah 23, the branch. Micah 5, that he'd be born in Bethlehem. Zechariah 9, he would ride in Jerusalem on a colt. Zechariah 11, his betrayal price would be 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 12, he would be pierced. Zechariah 13, his hands would be pierced. And Malachi 4, he is the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. That's just a sampling of the scriptures that would testify of him. But he explains here in John chapter 5, verse 40, if you will search the scriptures and you will find me, that's what has to come first. Then what do you have to do? Come to him. So that's the progression, isn't it? For an unsaved person, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which comes from the scriptures. And then what do they need to do? But they need to come to Jesus that they might have life. Jesus is the one that gives life, as we've talked about many times. If you look at John 7:37, we'll see this. He says, John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus came to give us this living water. And then he takes and specifically points the Jews to Moses. Because remember, they had a lot of faith in Moses. And so there in verse 45 of our passage, he says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Isn't that interesting? So go to John 9 now, in verse 28. John 9:28. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Talking to the blind man. Verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. So the Jews here are rebuking the blind man. And they're saying, we're Moses' disciple. We're not Jesus' disciple. And Jesus says, you trust Moses. And then he finishes by saying, he wrote of me. And Moses did write of Christ many times. But let's look at a couple of them together. Where Moses wrote Genesis 14. And this is just a sampling, but in Genesis 14, verse 18, Moses wrote about a man. Who met Abraham, Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. So this king of Salem, which means peace, which became Jerusalem, was a priest as well. So this man was a king and a priest, which was unheard of in the Old Testament for a man to be both a king and a priest. But that's because it's Jesus, because when we get to Hebrews 7, it tells us that Melchizedek had no beginning and no end. Well, there's no one else that could be. So Jesus appeared in the Old Testament unto Abraham as he was returning from rescuing his nephew Lot. And Abraham gave Melchizedek, this king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, his tithes of his spoils from rescuing Lot. And of course in Genesis 22, turn over there, and we're just looking at the writings of Moses now. In verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. This is right before Abraham took Isaac up on the mount to sacrifice him in obedience to God. And Abraham made this prophetic statement, "God will provide himself a lamb." We get to the New Testament, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And then in Exodus chapter 12, probably one of the most beautiful pictures, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, "In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. If the house will be too little for the lamb, let him his neighbor next to him in his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat." Down in verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Hence the name Passover. We get to the New Testament, the Bible says Jesus is our Passover. When God sees the blood, he passes over us. Amen. And then over in Exodus 17, I just preached here in Tyre on Sunday. Verse 6, "Behold, I stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." This is the third time that the people complained about not having anything to drink. God said, "Go strike that rock." He did, and enough water came out for 2 million people and countless cattle to drink. That's a big spring. And we get to the New Testament, and it says, 1 Corinthians 10, that rock that followed them was Christ, and that rock gave them water. So that was picturing Jesus Christ, which is why when Moses was told the second time to just speak to it, and instead he smote it, God had to punish him for breaking the picture and couldn't allow him to go into the promised land. And then in Numbers 21, turn over there, just a sampling of some of the writings of Moses about Jesus. Numbers 21, verse 8. "Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." We get to the New Testament, in John chapter 3, Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus pointed back to this very event and said that that was representative of him being on the cross of Calvary. And then Numbers 24, in the midst of Balaam's prophecy, one of them, verse 17, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth." A star out of Jacob and a scepter out of Israel. That's Jesus. And the last one, Deuteronomy 18. This was the most referenced verse by the Jews. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 18:15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." Down in verse 18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them, and all that I shall command him." We get to the New Testament, And Jesus says that he is the fulfillment of that prophecy. He is the prophet. You probably noticed in verse 18 it's capitalized. It's because it's pointing to Jesus. So that's just the writings of Moses. As Jesus mentions here at the end of this discourse, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Talking about Moses. Moses wrote of Jesus. Can you imagine the Jews as they're hearing this? You mean that those Old Testament scriptures that we've been reading for centuries were about you? They were unwilling to accept that. And they nailed him to a cross. But then he finishes in verse 47, our last verse tonight, chapter 5 of John. If ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? If you won't believe all these prophecies of Moses that were made about me that are now coming to pass right before your eyes, you're not going to believe my words. Which was prophetic as well, because they wouldn't believe his words. And it will be his words that will judge us. John chapter 12, verse 48. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We will be judged by Christ's words. So the answer for the lost and the answer for the saved is the same. Search the scriptures. Because that is the truth from our Creator. Amen. Praise God. That's